Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
City officials say traffic will be heavy and parking will be tight today on Beacon Hill for the public wake for former Boston Mayor Kevin White. The man who led Boston from 1968 to 1984 died on Friday after a decade-long fight with Alzheimer's. People will be able to pay their respects today from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Parkman House on Beacon Hill, which is right next to the State House. White's wake and funeral are expected to be the biggest the city has held since the death of another former four-term Boston mayor, James Michael Curley. The man who penned his definitive biography, The Rascal King, joins us this morning to talk about both mayors. On Point news analyst Jack Beatty. Good morning and thanks for speaking with Morning Edition.
Good morning, Bob.
The city expects thousands to attend the wake today for Kevin White. What do you expect?
Oh, I would think that would be so. It might not be as thick a crowd as you would have gotten, 15 years ago, because the interval between his last incumbency and now is so long. With Curley, it was only a matter of a few years. Thus, you got a huge crowd in the impeachable estimates of the police, perhaps as much as 700,000 people, according to one I'm certain inflated count.
You know, as the city sees a flood of memories at this time for Kevin White, I want to ask what it was like when Curley died in 1958. How did people, officials, and regular folks view Curley at that time?
Well, I think he was seen as a sort of almost a museum piece. People recognized he was well in his 80s. People recognized that it was the end of an era, the era of ethnic politics in the city, that he stood for something more than himself. Also, he had been a kind of, in the days before the welfare state, he had been a kind of one-man welfare state, giving out his turkeys and making much about looking after the poor and so on, the famous story of giving his coats away to people. These gestures, even if they didn't affect a lot of people, were known by a lot of people and won him a special place in people's affections.
You know, they both served four terms, White and Curley, though Curley's were not consecutive. Both have Irish heritage. White is from Jamaica Plain, where Curley lived as an adult, but there were important differences in these two leaders of Boston. Tell us about them.
Well, I think that they stood at different times. Curley represented the sort of machine politics of built around ward bosses and registering new immigrants. And he had a Tammany Club back in his old ward in Roxbury. Kevin White was different. He was a learned person, graduate of Williams College, Boston College. Law school. He was a modern man. Clearly, he was in the mode really of John Lindsay and Jerome Kavanaugh in Detroit, young liberal mayors of the 1960s who seemed to stand for, you know, let's deal with our real problems in the cities. Let's try to revive the cities and so on. So the imagery was just entirely different. Curley wanted to take Boston back. Kevin White took Boston ahead.
Of course, one of the great challenges of the White years was the tension over the forced busing of Boston students because of court-ordered desegregation. There are mixed opinions of how White handled the racial tensions of the time. Of course, it was a very different time, but Jack, what was Curley's record on the issue of race in Boston?
Well, I think that in Curley's day, the African-American vote was either ignored or it was thought to be Republican and it just wasn't taken very seriously. He certainly didn't take it very seriously. With Kevin White, it was different. Kevin White won the most critical election in Boston's modern history, the election of 1967 against Louise Day Hicks, the chairwoman of the Boston School Committee, who campaigned on the slogan, "You know where I stand," meaning I am against racial integration of the Boston schools.
She was a very polarizing figure.
She was indeed, and she lost that election by 12,000 votes out of 190,000 cast. Martin Luther King said that if she won, it would be a tragedy, and it certainly would have been a tragedy. White's victory there meant everything for the city. If White did nothing positively on racial matters, simply winning that election was enough, because that really meant Boston would go ahead. It would not, or at least it would not go back on racial matters. It would not return to, it would not be a kind of George Wallace city.
Jack Beatty, news analyst for WBUR's On Point and author of The Rascal King, a biography of James Michael Curley. Thanks for joining us this morning to talk about Curley and Kevin White.
Thank you, Bob.